This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
It's a good day when you can end the day and say, I love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my soul today. And you know, it's a good day when you can say, I actually obeyed the Lord today. There was something I felt prompted in my spirit to do. I read something in the Word of God and I did it. I followed through, and it's a good day. It's a good day when you walk in the ways of the Lord, and it's a good day when you reject the idols of the culture and you say, I'm not going to worship the gods of this age and the God of the world system apart from Christ. I'm going to worship the true God. And you say, how do you know all those things? Those are a good day. That's what we're going to read today in the Word of God, as I give you an end of the year message for all of us on it's up to you. It's a choice that you make. And I'm indebted to Dr. Henry Blackaby. Henry Blackaby wrote the book Experiencing God. Henry Blackaby says the end of the year serves a twofold spiritual purpose. I've never heard anyone say this before, but everybody in the first two services said that spoke to me today. Here's what Blackaby says. The end of the year, November and December, has a corrective capacity, a corrective component, that God wants to correct something in your life. There's something going on in your life, an attitude towards somebody that you work with, an attitude towards somebody in your family. And the Lord says, no, I'm going to correct that at the end of the year. As you come up to the new year, we're going to correct that this year. And then he says it's not only a corrective component, but there is a preparatory component where God uses the end of the year to prepare you for something that you're going to be doing, saying, or thinking. I think he's right. Every person in this room can think of something the Lord needs to correct at the end of this year before the 31st. And everybody in this room can think of something the Lord perhaps is preparing you for, and he's using the end of the year for corrective and preparatory purposes in your life. We're going to read an interesting passage that I've never preached from before in my life. It's where Moses, God's man, is giving a message to the people of Israel. They're on the east side of the Jordan River in Israel, and they're about ready to cross over into the Promised Land. They've been wandering for 40 years, and they're getting ready to cross over into the Promised Land, and he gives them a word. And I want you to notice how simplistic it is. It's not involved. It's not deep. In fact, even Moses said, this isn't rocket science, so to speak. He said, this is simple. I want you to follow along as I read from Deuteronomy 30, in the Old Testament, beginning at verse 11. Moses says this, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. This is interesting. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you, I'm not suggesting this, he says, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands. But listen to the warning of verse 17. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. Get that? He didn't say the Lord will show you life. The Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Most people don't celebrate a new year. They just observe another old one. Would you get that? Most people don't have a new year. They just go through another old one. And you know in your heart that you've spent a lot of old years, year after year, because nothing changed It was same old, same old. Nothing changed in your walk with the Lord. Nothing changed in your relationship to this book we call the Bible. Nothing changed in your faithfulness to the Lord. And you didn't celebrate a new year, you just observed another old one. I'm going to ask you today to decide that it's not only going to be a new decade, it's going to be a new year in your life because of four things that are going to happen in your life. You're going to choose. You're going to decide. And I want you to notice what Moses said. This isn't difficult. It's very basic. All my life, I've talked to people who've sat in my office and said, you know, I just don't know what God wants me to do with my life. It's just too difficult. It's too confusing. And I want to suggest to you today, it's pretty basic. Let's bring up the first thing that we're to do. We're to love the Lord your God. If that sounds familiar, we studied that in the Mark series where Jesus was asked by a lawyer of the day, what's the greatest commandment? And there were 613 laws, not just 10 commandments, but 613. Remember, I even kind of joked about one of them. It said in Leviticus, it says, if a man marries a woman and marries her mother as well, it's a wicked thing. And I said, it's not just wicked, it's crazy wicked to be married to your wife and to her mother. But that was a law that was set down. It was one of 613 laws. And this lawyer says to Jesus, of all those laws, what's the greatest? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. What's it mean to love the Lord your God? The same thing it means when you love another person. You open up your life to a person. Those of you that remember back to when you were dating your spouse or you've been dating anybody, there was a point in time where you may have had this conversation. You know, if this relationship continues, there's something I need to tell you. If we're going to continue on as a couple, there's something I need to share with you about my background, about my family. There's something that happened to me 20 years ago. You need to know about it. You're going to find out about it anyway. And part of loving somebody is opening up your life to that person. That's what you do when you accept Christ into your life. You open up your life and your spirit and say, Lord, you know what I am anyway. You know everything about me. But I open up my heart and my spirit to you. Another part of loving another person is yielding. What do you yield? Your time. What do you yield? Your talent, your abilities, your capacities. What do you yield? Your treasure. That's what it means to be loving somebody else. You yield your life to that person. And there's something wrong when a man says to his wife, I want you to yield to me, but I'm not yielding to you. And there's something wrong when a wife says to a husband, you better yield to me, pal, but I'm not yielding to you. There's mutual yielding that goes on in marriage. It's both ways. It's called mutual submission. As we submit to one another, the Bible says, out of love. There's not just one-way submission. It's mutual submission in marriage. But we're to love the Lord our God. Love is a decision. It's an act of the will. It's volitional. You decide to love another person, and you decide to love the Lord your God. Secondly, what's the second one say? Walk in his ways. Is there anybody you can think of in your family or a friend that you can recognize their gait? Do you know what I mean by that? You can see, oh, that's my dad. I can tell by the way he's walking. Well, that's my mom. I just recognize the way she walks. And to walk in his ways, really in simplistic terms, means to walk like the Lord. You are on the same page with him. Well, we'll continue this message on Cross Hope exactly where we leave off today, tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message or any other message on Cross Hope. God bless you. Secondly, what's the second one say? Walk in his ways. To walk in his ways, really in simplistic terms, means to walk like the Lord. You are on the same page with him. What matters to him matters to you. What's important to him is important to you. To walk in his ways isn't some superficial spiritual terminology. It means that you're in league with him. To walk in his ways means you walk with him. You're on the same page spiritually. The third thing is to keep his commands. And isn't it interesting what Moses said? He said, I'm commanding you. I'm not suggesting you that you obey the commands of the Lord. Because obedience will prove your love more than anything else. When a man or woman says, oh, I just love Jesus. I don't do anything he says, but I really love him. I know they're lying. I know they're lying because obedience equals love and love equals obedience. When you love the Lord, you obey the Lord. And when you obey the Lord, you love him. The two are in tandem together. And to obey his commandments is a choice that we make. And then the fourth decision we make is to reject the idols of the day. Anything in your life that takes the place of God can become your idol. It can be something you own. It can be a hobby. It can become a person. It can be a lot of things in life. And Moses tells God's people, when you go into the promised land, if you turn your back on the true God and you start worshiping the idols of the area, you know what he said? Did he say you might have a few problems? He said, you'll be destroyed. Choose life or choose death. That's how serious it was. Write this down in your notes. The choice is clear, but the choice is also critical. The choice is clear, but it's also critical in life. And anything to do with the Lord is clear, and anything to do with the Lord, I think, is critical, meaning we better do it. And the Lord says, decide. Choose that you're going to walk in his ways. You're going to obey him. You're going to love him. And you're going to choose to reject the idols of the day. Ron Ritchie is a minister to Bible Church in the South, and he writes a powerful story about a friend of his. He said, I have a friend who years ago chose death as his lifestyle. He became involved in drugs, and by the time he was arrested and sent to prison for 10 years of hard time, his arms had needle tracks from the wrist all the way to his shoulder. Think about that. His arms had needle tracks from the wrist all the way to his shoulder. While in prison, however, he was introduced to life with a capital L. Jesus Christ. He bowed his heart and his knee to his new Lord and Savior and then began to minister in that prison. Finally, his sentence was up and he came out and served the Lord as a clean man, quote unquote, for the last several years. Unfortunately, 3 months ago, he was diagnosed as HIV positive as a result of using some contaminated needles in the old days. He told a group of Christians recently that on the surface, HIV is certainly bad news. But the good news is that because he has chosen life in Christ, he firmly believes the words of Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Ron Ritchie says this, in this man's life, I see both the curses and the consequences of his old lifestyle of disobedience, but I also see the blessings of God's enabling him to minister to others, to share the life of Christ with them, and experience life himself in the midst of his brokenness. Listen carefully. Anybody who's a human being knows what it is to experience the consequences of sin. Everybody does. The consequences of forgiven sin. God forgives, but we still have to live with the consequences of what we set in motion. That's true for you, and it's true for me. Well, I hope you'll make every effort to hear the story that we tell tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. I want to tell you a powerful story about something that I don't participate in. I don't golf. I'm one of a few ministers that I know that don't golf. Most ministers I know love to golf. Ron Mehl, M-E-H-L, is a minister I knew in Beaverton, Oregon, who was a golf fanatic. Anytime he had a chance to play golf, he would golf. And so when somebody offered to take him to Cypress Point Golf Course on the Monterey Peninsula in California, he said, I'll go. Exclusive club. He says it's one of the most scenic and beautifully groomed courses on the planet. He says the seascapes are stunning. They loom at every turn. The deer run wild, the seals are playing along the beach, and the dolphins and whales are spouting and frolicking just offshore. It's a golfer's paradise. And so when Ron was presented with the opportunity to play there, he jumped at it. Now, the Cypress Point Golf Course had a rule. If you play golf on this course, you have to have a caddy. Ron said he'd never played with a caddy, nor did he want a caddy. He didn't want somebody looking over his shoulder. He didn't want somebody advising him how many yards this next shot was. He just said, I don't play golf that way, and I didn't want anybody hanging around me. But he said, I had to have a caddy. He drew a caddy, and the man was old enough to be his grandfather. And so when they started out, the caddy would tell him, Ron, this shot here is 167 yards. And Ron said, I know more about golf than this guy. And so whatever the caddy told him, he did the opposite. He did terrible. He was just going down the tubes quickly. And finally, I want you to listen to what this caddy said to Ron Mehl. He said, son, I think you need to make a decision here. And I think you need to make it soon. Because if you don't, it's going to be a long day for both of us. You see, I have one job. Every day I walk this golf course and I tell people how far they have to hit the ball. That's all I do. That's it. I don't have to mow. I don't have to fertilize the course. I don't have to make sandwiches in the clubhouse. I leave those things to people who know how to do them, and they leave the guessing of yardage to me. I've walked this golf course for over 50 years. Ron, I know where every tree is. I know every blade of grass on this course. And so when I tell you 167 yards, I don't mean 168, I mean 167. Ron, what you have to do today is decide if you're going to trust me or not. Listen to that again. Ron, what you're going to have to do is decide if you're going to trust me or not. With that, he replaced Ron's putter in the bag and walked on to the next tee. Ron decided to trust him, and his game improved dramatically. I think you know where I'm going with that illustration. Every man, every woman, every young person in this room today has to make a decision, and you better make it soon. I really believe that. That you either are going to trust God with your life, you're going to trust God with your future, you're going to trust God with your marriage, you're going to trust God with your children, you're going to trust God with your house and with your job and everything about you that makes you you. Or you're going to trust in yourself. Or you're going to trust in the system, the world system apart from Christ. Or you're going to trust in a guru who tells you this and another guru who tells you that. Or you're going to trust in the Lord God Almighty and say, I put my faith in him and I'm going to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. I'm going to walk in his ways. I'm going to obey his commandments. And I'm going to reject the temptation to follow other gods. Why? Because Moses said, choose life or choose death. Choose blessings or choose cursing, and the choice is yours. Well, we'll conclude this message tomorrow, New Year's Day, on CrossHope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening to CrossHope. Anybody who's a human being knows what it is to experience the consequences of sin. Everybody does. The consequences of forgiven sin. God forgives, but we still have to live with the consequences of what we set in motion. That's true for you and it's true for me, but we also experience the blessings that come from acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord. We experience the blessings of deciding to love him with all our hearts. We experience the blessing of walking in his ways, obeying his commandments, and you experience a blessing, I really believe, when you reject an idol of this day and say, I'm not going to bend the knee to money. I'm not going to bend my knee to things. I'm not going to bend the knee to my house and say, that's my God. My God is the Lord God Almighty. My God is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and that's the only one that I worship. Those of you that have listened to me preach even 10 times know that I'm really big on the word decision. I honestly believe the average minister in the United States of America is a nice person talking to nice people about nice things and using nice words, and that's what they call a sermon. Every message I preach, I hope, calls people to decide. Make a decision, and that's what Moses is doing. Every great leader in the Bible always called people to decision. Joshua told the people, choose this day who you're going to serve. If it's the gods of the country, then follow them. And what did Joshua say? But as for me and my house, we've already decided. It's settled. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to obey the Lord. That's the decision of every husband and father in this room. That's the decision of every wife and mother, every single person, every young adult, every teenager at Crossview Christian Church has to make a decision. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to follow him. Isn't it interesting what Blackaby said, that the end of the year for corrective component and there's a preparatory component? I want you to privately right now say in your mind, Lord, what would you want to correct in my life right now? You know what? I have a feeling you know. I have a sense in my spirit that nobody has to write it down for you. You don't have to have a message flashed across the sky. You don't need a telegram. You know in your spirit, this is what needs to be corrected in your life. And for some of us, there may be several things. It's not just one. For most people, it's not one, it's several, it's many. And then what is it that the Lord could be preparing you for in the next year? Ever occur to you that maybe the Lord knows already about what he's got planned for you in your career next year? I'm being a little facetious here. He knows. He knows what he's got planned for your family. He knows what he's got planned for your children. He knows what he's got planned for everything about you. And part of being a believer is say, Lord, I know you're working in our lives and you're preparing me for the next step. You're preparing us for the next situation in life, the next crisis. You're preparing us for the next issue we have to deal with, because that's what God does. He corrects and he prepares. Let him do it. Let him do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today from a book of the Bible that I haven't preached much from over the years, Deuteronomy. A book with a funny sounding name, but such powerful statements recording the history of your people. And as Moses told people, this isn't difficult. You don't have to send somebody into space to find out the answer. It's in your mouth and it's in your mind. Lord, thank you for people who responded earlier today, if there are people who need to make a decision on the last Sunday of the year and say, today's the day that I commit to Christ. Today's the day that I make this decision. Today's the day I ask for prayer regarding this situation. Bless people as they come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.